I memorized some things. Living in Yakima and going to taco trucks, I learned to say, I memorized to say, yo quiero dos tacos de arrabbiata con toro por aquí. I would like two pork tacos with everything on it for here. ¿Es todo? Es todo. Is that all? That's all. Now, I could say that, and they could look at me thinking, this white guy knows Spanish. He's speaking it pretty good. And then they want a dialogue. That's it, man. That's it. That's all I got. And they would try to ask some other question. That's it. Yo quiero dos tacos de arrabbiata. I get variation in the meat, you know, lengua, asada, things like that. But that was my spiel. I could take friends to a taco truck, and boy, they'd step away saying, man, you speak Spanish? I didn't know that. Not really. And so I learned that by memorization. Over time, I began to understand what I was saying, but in the beginning, I was just repeating syllables. And I'd like to understand a lot more. I'd like to be able to converse, and because it becomes meaningful and relational when you can converse, share thought with meaning. Up until that point, it's pretty much just reciting. Okay? Now, we've watched the Bible quizzers pick up their Bibles and begin to memorize. And at the time of question, they could recite. They can quote. But even in the volume of their quoting, there's times when you begin to question the level of understanding. Now let's talk about that you just said. Got a witness? Okay. It is a mode of teaching, and I suppose a mode of learning. Okay. Now, I don't know who it was. I was thinking it might have been Mark Kendrick, but somebody used a term here one day from up here when they were sharing something, and they said they learned by rote. Now, this was in my, not just in my memory, but the Holy Ghost prodded me with that term the other day, and I had to go back and look it up. I can remember in the days of our Christian school, when there was deliberation about some of the paces and how they were devised by having in a lesson three repetitions within a lesson so that there would be just enough absorbing to answer the question on the test. Right? But even at that, we wondered, are they really learning this material? They've passed the test because of the method of teaching, they could recite the answer. But I'm afraid that some of those things that they were passing the tests on, if you came back and asked them a month later, they'd say, I don't know. I'm on another thing now. I learned that to pass the test. So there was the ability to quote and recite information. That is a method of learning. And it also has a certain amount of level of learning. Learning is important. We learned in our education piece that people learn differently. Some are audio, some can listen and hear. pick up things, learn. Other people seem to get very little from the listening and the audio because you can't get them to listen. So they're a hands-on type of a learner. You know, give me the nail, the hammer, the board, and all. And so through the activity, through the action, they are gleaning and gaining understanding through the practice of whatever the concept is. While others can hear and listen to a concept being shared, and if the teacher's good, with words, the concept can be embraced and learned and not just heard, at least to a degree. But at some point, there's got to be application. At some point, there's got to be application so that my learning, I'll say it this way. There's things that I have hesitated to teach because I didn't own it. I want to get to the place where I've had a certain amount of application of what I've heard so that I can own it. Therefore, there's more than just the sharing of concept, the speaking of words, but possibly there's a place of imparting something that I own, I possess. It's in my spirit. It's in my being. I've been down this road before. Early on in our marriage, we went through so many things, and I would ask my pastor, how come other people don't go through all this? Why are we going through all this? It's every week there's some new deal. You'll know later on. The Lord's preparing you, and there'll be people in your life that you will be able to teach and share with conviction because you own what you're teaching because you've been through the circumstances. So I looked up the word rote, R-O-T-E, because the Holy Ghost spoke that to me after I had been pondering, musing over some things that I had observed. And the Holy Ghost said they've learned by rote. Now, I picked up this article that says the difference between rote learning and meaningful learning. I'm not going to read the whole article to you, but I want to read some points to you. A comparison. What is rote learning? Rote learning is the memorization of information based on repetition. Did you catch that? Learning is the memorization of information based on repetition. Examples of rote learning include memorizing the alphabet, numbers, multiplication tables. Some consider rote learning to be a necessary step in learning certain subjects. Memorization isn't the most effective way to learn, but it's a method many students and teachers still use. A common rote learning technique is preparing quickly for a test, also known as cramming. I'm not going to go into the advantages or the disadvantages of that style of learning. I'd like to go to the Word of God at Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. I attended a Christmas banquet one time just out of being social and friendly. A place of where there were people that I knew at a church that I never forgot. Because as I interacted and sat there and visited, it was a small group of people, I thought, this is really familiar. This feels like when I came into the church 25 years ago. What I was experiencing there as I listened to people as they opened their mouths and began to speak to me, it released a time period. Do you know what a time warp is? If we use the term time warp, it's like a space and time. I've always said of my brother, when he was smoking pot, he got stuck in a time warp. He never moved beyond the seventh grade. Pot'll do that to you. And so as a reference, as I was visiting with these folks, I thought, wow, this really feels like, and it was primarily what I saw and heard, like a time back 25 years ago when I came into the church, when the first expression of interest was, is, have you been baptized in Jesus' name? Have you received the Holy Ghost? Was it evidenced by speaking with other tongues? Do you know how common that was when I first came into the church? That was a very common experience and expression, and it was a focal point of people getting baptized and getting the Holy Ghost. Nicodemus called that birth. Great, yes, so I'm a baby. And in my experience in this setting, at a banquet 25 years later, I don't mean this as a derogatory statement, but a descriptive one. Literally, I was sitting in a room with babes in Christ. It appeared that there was no greater development in their experience. Now, this is just my opinion. This is just my observation. But by the things that were described to me that came out of their conversation, it appeared as though they were in a time warp. They came in, they heard the gospel, they responded to the gospel. They got baptized in Jesus' name, they received the Holy Ghost, they were born. And then time stopped. And so we're still talking about the fact that we were born. This year, next year, the year after that, the year after that. And then when other people, we run into other people, we're wanting to know, have you been born? That's kind of like saying, are you a baby? Because that's a descriptive of the word. We come to God, and in our first experience, we are babes in Christ. We are born into a world that we have never been a part of spiritually. Because it's, according to Nicodemus, is no longer the natural world, but it is a spiritual world. It is a kingdom world, the kingdom of God. And so if there is a place or a role in participation, it will come as development transpires. I know that I was many years in a place where I was still looking for development to where I could read the book of Acts and say, this is descriptive of my experience in God and in my life. But sadly, for too many years, it was a storybook. It might as well have been talking about the superheroes. You know, there were supernatural things going on in the lives of natural men and women that was an evidence of the manifestation of the power of God operative in their lives. I know there's probably going to be some of you just looking at me saying, isn't this just another way of saying what you always say? What you're always talking about? Well, pretty much. But I'm compelled. No individual in the kingdom of God should stay in the bassinet. If we are to learn to walk, and we are, according to Scripture, Paul said, in the Spirit. If you're going to live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. If we will truly become the sons of God, we will be a people who follow after the leading of God's Spirit that ought to have some kind of systematic opportunity, whether it's week by week or month by month or day by day. There ought to be enough evidence there that we have a life in the Spirit. Now, do I really have to give the disclaimer and say, you know, put gas in your gas tank if it's on E? Don't wait for the Spirit of God to say, turn into the Shell station. I don't need to make that disclaimer, right? We live life, we get out of bed, we put our socks on, we put our shoes on, we go out, we press the button and start your car, it's cold out. We live in this natural world. We are in this world, but we are not to be of this world. Therefore, the concepts that we embrace shouldn't be worldly concepts, but spiritual concepts. And this is the importance of the teaching of the Word of God, that we learn of Him as we're learning to walk with Him. I guess we should read the Bible here. Matthew 11:25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. This is our starting point. This is our beginning. And this is what we're referred to. 1 Peter chapter 2 at verse 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. It's understood we start as babes in Christ. And we are to hear and receive the milk of the word, not the meat of the word. Because if we get the meat, we'll choke. But there's enough in the milk that it produces growth, that we may grow thereby. And so there should be a process of growing to the place that now we need some meat. But what if we get stuck in a time warp? What if... Let me give a couple of disclaimers here. I said to Brother Johnstone a couple of weeks ago, I marvel at the ministry that takes place in the Puyallup congregation. I'm away a lot, and so I have to go online and listen and hear. And I say that without apology. There's a ministry that transpires here. There is a depth that takes place here. Now, I'm not bragging on myself because I'm not the guy that's here half the time. But it doesn't matter who's taking hold of the mic and given the responsibility, there's something that goes forth that has depth, that edifies my spirit. I can't say that about every place I go. And I question. I ask the question, at different scenarios, what? Why is this so different? I remember leaving a place where I preached up the road here many years ago. It was one of the hardest things I've ever done. I wanted to get out of there. There was no flow. I questioned whether any of them had the Holy Ghost. They said they did. I didn't feel any of it. And I just, man, I wanted to get out of there. And I did get out of there. And I drove up the road here and I walked in here. It was explosive with the power of God. And so I thought, so that wasn't my problem after all. You know, that's what we do. Oh, what was my problem? What's the matter with me? I got no flow. I can't feel God. What's going on? There was something relative to the seat sitters and where they were in God that either prohibited any ministry taking place or absolutely pulled it out of you. I've had both experiences. Several places, many places. That speaks to me. That gives to me a contrast. Now, I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know who I'm talking to here, except everybody that's in the room. Because there's a lot of growth here as individuals. You're not babes, and you desire the meat of the word. Somebody told me one time, no names, somebody said, when you're in Puyallup, you give them meat. When you're here, it's like candy and milk. I said, you know, I'm not the director of that. All I can do is follow the inspiration of God. And if that's what exists here and that's what is needed here at this time, that's all I can do. Now, I know you don't go with me, so you don't have all these comparatives. It's important where God has brought us as individuals. Now I'm speaking to individuals. It's important where God has brought you. It's important that when you receive the word, that you have mused over the word, that you have meditated on the concepts of the word. You have allowed the inspiration and the Spirit of God to talk to you concerning his word and concerning your own life, your walk. And he'll take you through experiences, and as you wait upon God in the middle of the experience, or maybe at the end of the experience, you wait and allow for God to show you that you grow thereby. You can't disconnect your own life and experiences from the word that's ministered to you. And for how God speaks to you. What is the importance of prayer? It's communion with that Spirit that will bring growth and development in our experience. That wherever we go, we're more than a light. We're more than salt in the earth. We're more than babes in Christ getting together with other babes in Christ. Yes, we've all been baptized. Move on. Where do we go from here? Paul's compelling argument was that we've got to get out. Let me see, what did he say? Now there's no more condemnation to them that. What? A little louder. That are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Okay, so that gives me the idea and the evidence. Here's the direction. I should be moving away from a life in the flesh, even though I have flesh and I gotta feed me, clothe me, help me, sleep me. That there should be a transition and a progression that takes me to a new place in Him, to a deeper place in Him. Why would he reference the deep things of the Holy Ghost if there weren't deep things in the Holy Ghost? And a place in the Spirit of God for me, that's you saying, me. That there's spiritual expression that prevails in my life. That there is impartation that lives. That when I get around others, I am a help. Look, if you've been sent, you're a help. There's a purpose, there's a plan, there's a reason. And it's not for us just to observe each other's bassinets. I was in a car with a gentleman riding and trying to talk. I talk about stuff. I'm not a social surface, you know, butterfly, let's talk about the weather type of guy. If I'm going to be in your company very long, something's going to come out that's been turning in here. And I'm in a car, and all of a sudden I realize the other person in the car, they're not able to go there. Turn up the audio. But it's good audio. It's Bible. The Bible is playing. But the Bible's playing so loud, you can't hear. For 2 hours. And I'm thinking, does he do this every day? Or is it because I'm in the car and I asked some very pointed questions and I was ready to go somewhere? Some folks aren't ready to go. That's not the descriptive, I don't think, of anybody in this room. But this is a concept that we've got to know and understand for the calling of God upon our lives, His purpose and plan for us, because we're not service attenders. We're not service attenders. We are parts in a body. We are pieces in a building, fitly framed. Do I sound like I'm mad? Okay, I'm not mad. I am burdened. I am impassioned. And for some, I am desperate. Why things can go on so long without progression, growth. Matthew 18, and it looks like verse 18. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." This speaks to attitude. And much of what I have observed in the last little while is a childlike approach to God. Now that's beautiful. When you see no evidence of pride and there's nothing but a childlikeness that come over a people who begin to praise their father, that is beautiful. But that's not the same thing as what I'm talking about. That's needful. That's necessary. That's what we all want to participate in, okay? Matthew 13 and 31. Oh, wait. Nope, not yet. Matthew 19 and 13. Then there were brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Again, he's talking about attitude. He's talking about our approach to him and his love for the innocence of children, especially from the perspective of a father. Now, let's go to another scripture, 1 Corinthians 3 and 3. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." Paul is come into the company of some people. I would dare say he had direction. This is a man that's been through some major transformation. And God has poured into him ministry. And wherever he went, he poured it out. And now he comes into the company of some believers. Maybe UPCers. And he says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." What? Boy, if you said that to somebody that was a teenager in their spirit, that would be offensive. What do you mean I'm not maturing? That's the last thing a teenager wants to hear, you know, because they're approaching, you know, the adulthood area. Finally going to get a little recognition as an adult. And an adult says to them, "Man, you are immature." That is the worst thing you could say. That's the most painful thing you can say to a late teen. Because for the last 2 years, they've been convincing you, "I'm old enough to make my own decisions." Right? Now, some of you are close enough to that line. This is really a familiar place for you. So Paul's walking into a group of adults and saying, "You're like spiritual babies." Huh? We're believers. We're baptized in Jesus' name. We got the Holy Ghost. I've been in the UPC for 25 years. I don't know what happened. Maybe there was some kind of a time warp. Maybe somewhere there was a lack on the part of teachers to take individuals any further. They were hungry. They were ready. But whatever it was that had been taught, shared, and ministered, maybe they were just learning by rote. You ever asked a question, you needed information, and there was information recited to you? And you needed more understanding, so you made a deviation from the question, or you asked it from a different angle, and then the same information was recited. And then you realize, I think I've got to the end of their understanding. Let me get somebody else. Hold on, wait. Is it possible that some of the things that we have heard recited so many times from the Bible, that the depth of our understanding is no greater than the ability to simply recite it again? See, you can often tell when somebody's reciting or quoting even a scripture with no understanding of the meaning or any ownership of the teaching. Let it not be so in us. Let it not be so in us. Let every man not just have an answer for the hope that lies within you, but take it somewhere from there. Lead him from there. I mean, Paul often started with, you know, I was on the road to Damascus. If it was possible in the exchange and in the encounter, he was going to take them as far as he could get them. Stephen did the same thing. My goodness, he was with a bunch of Jewish people and took them all the way back to Abraham. You know, he took them back to where they had memorized when they were boys. Learned by rote. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one Lord." Do you realize that the majority quoted that, recited that all their life long until there they were in Jerusalem that day when Peter stood up and said, "Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ." And all their life long, they'd been saying, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, is one." And the Bible says, now when they heard this, for the first time in their life, somebody's going to take them deeper. Somebody's going to take them further. And there's enough spiritual revelation there in the life of Peter that he says, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. Right. Oh, God, I am so burdened. There's a place that God wants to take people. By yea, the millions. He wants to take them to a place in Him beyond learning by rote, beyond reciting of truths, and a place of living, walking in. That there's enough evidence to prove He's one of them. She's one of them. Evidence in our own life. Would you stand with me? God, give me enough evidence in my own being that it wouldn't be a mistake, but they could prove. They could prove by the evidence. He's a son of God. She's a son of God, a daughter of God. That we would grow in faith. You know, one scripture he referenced about faith. He said, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed. A mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds. And we know we've been given a measure of faith. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. I don't know if there's anything in our life that God's given to us that is supposed to remain in its infancy or at its beginning point. There should be a growth. There should be a developing. We should grow not just in grace. We should grow in faith. Not only do we put on Christ. And these are all truths. But oftentimes they are relative to the most beginning stages. If there are fruits of the Spirit that should begin to prevail and dominate in our lives, they are a product of a spiritual communion with Him. Not just the spiritual birth, when we're all saying, but it's a starting point. It's a place of beginning. I want to grow in God. Would you say that to the Lord? I want to grow in You, Lord. As You have designed for me, as You have purposed for me, I want to grow in You. I want to become a value to You in Your kingdom. For wherever it is that You would place me or send me, I don't know if this has done anything for you or to you. I pray that there be an impact. I pray that what I have done today has been in agreement with expression of the Spirit of God, that there will be a spiritual work. I believe. I was ministering not many days ago And there was such a vein of the Spirit leading in a direction that it was so obvious where God was wanting to take the hearers. And it might have been my mistake. But when I felt like I was done with my part, I handed it off to the person in charge. It wasn't the pastor. The pastor was away. He had taken another obligation. And so the individual took it and did what he knew to do, because it's what he always does and what he's been doing for many, many, many years. All those that need the Holy Ghost, come and raise your hand. I was in shock. I thought, in Puyallup, I could have handed the mic to anybody in the room, and they'd have had the discernment and sensitivity to know just exactly where God was trying to take all the hearers, and gone there and brought an invitation. And but it took such a dramatic turn in that moment as he began. I thought, oh no. My mistake. I'd like to open this up. I don't know entirely what it is that God's been speaking to you about in just the last little while. But I'd like to open this altar.
If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. If you pour out your Spirit, then I will open up inside. Fill me. Provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. If you'll pour out your Spirit, then I will open up inside. If you provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. And if you'll pour out your Spirit, then I will open up inside. Feel.